This is October 28th, and the next meeting will be on November 18th, 1990, in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Good morning, Bartholomew.
Well, good morning, my friends.
Good morning.
And I'm pleased to see you. I would like to spend some time today trying to give you another way of viewing various choices that have been presented to you in your lives. For example, we received a very interesting letter from a very fine man who asked that we discuss, if we could, the whole situation about at a young age being placed in circumstances that are now called the satanic mode. Many of you have, for example, asked the question deeply, why were you subject to child abuse? Why did your beginning look the way that it did? And you all realize, of course, that there are a lot of horror stories out there. And the inference given by the world is that something was flawed in your nature that caused you to have this event take place. Now, I would like to absolutely, if I could stand up, which I can't, but if I could stand up, I would say, do not believe that. There is an incredibly naive, negative, unaware and unalive way that many people have of understanding these kinds of beginnings. And so let us present you an alternative, if I could put it this way, in an alternative way to view these situations. I would like to start by saying that when you look around at people in your life who have had relatively simple, uncomplicated, bovine, do you know what I mean by bovine lives, there is a way of saying, oh, they are the good ones, and somehow because of all of this, the movie scripts that I've been running through in my life, that something must be flawed in me, and they are indeed the wise ones, the good ones, the holy ones. My friends, if you will think about how a friend of yours named Jesus ended his life, if you will look with great care at the life that he lived, you will see that this is not the way things are. In fact, I would like for you to really understand that many of you who have come in with these very intense beginnings are probably some of the strongest people on this planet. You are never given more than you can handle, whether that means in one series of events, in one lifetime, or in a series of lifetimes. So when you begin to understand that this is something that says something incredibly deep and wondrous and hopeful about you, you will begin to loosen up all of that nonsense that is projected upon you that these are things that you deserved. For example, the earliest things that happened to Mary Margaret, for example, being abandoned at birth and placed in an orphanage, people have told her for years that the reason for this is that in the last lifetime she abandoned a baby and this was her destiny. My friends, I doubt it. And I also doubt if you came to me with your story about what happened to you in your early years that I would be able to say anything other than look more deeply, do not take the surface answer, understand that what happens is you are sent, if I could put it this way, there's so many ways, this is not the only way to talk about this issue. There are so many windows on truth. Do not limit yourself by saying there is one window and keep going back to it. Do not throw out this view because it disagrees with another view. Instead, please expand so that many, many windows are open so that you can have a lot of wind of change and light and choices playing through your consciousness rather than just continuing to look at one limited window yet and yet again. One basic way to look at it is that if it be true that the job of all of you is to expand the light, the power, and the God awareness into all areas of consciousness, does it make sense to you? You are all going to come in as holy men? Does it make sense to you? You all will be in some way. Do you understand? Do you understand? Where do you go to heal the dark? Where do you go to heal the difficult? You go to where the dark is. You go to where the difficult lies. You do not go and sit around in the sunshine. You go to where there is something that needs to be transformed. And so by the very nature of choosing to take your life, because nothing happens that isn't agreed upon. And that is not a negative statement. It comes out of the great heart of consciousness, which is that those who are the warriors, who are the strong, who are the brave, and who have the capacity for clarity to be able to do the job, they are the ones that are given the assignment. You give the assignment to the persons most likely to be able to finalize the assignment given. And in that process, if you could take on a sense of the integrity of the mission, the integrity of the job, the integrity of your call on the very deepest level. People only talk about people being called to God when they end up in monasteries or nunneries. My friends, not true. I do not think any of you on a beautiful day such as this would come and spend your time like this unless you had a call inside of some very clear power that reaches down into you, that keeps calling you through all of the differences in your lives, that keeps saying, keep on, there is something important here. And by going into the dark, by going into those places where the entire world has darkness hidden, you begin to go into the situation, and out of that repugnance to the situation, begin to look around for the light. And if you will please not get stuck by saying that you are somehow tainted. You know, I hear this a lot. I'm tainted by that whole situation. That is absolutely untrue. Could you say, for example, that Mother Teresa is tainted in any deep soul way by her work with the lepers, by her work with the impoverished, with the down and downtrodden? Or let us look at it another way. Would you really exalt Mother Teresa if she spent her time working at a very exclusive clinic in Switzerland? I'm asking you to be literal in your understanding of yourself and the job that you've been called to do. So to whatever degree there was difficulty, understand some of you immediately on coming into body form, but then many of you within the first year, certainly within the first 7, 8, 9 years usually, some of those great trajectories have already been in place. You already are in the situation that seems to you to be so filled with darkness and pain. And then out of that arises the other part of your psyche. Now we have to remember our basics. Let's not forget all of the basics, which is you don't come in with just one part of your psyche. You don't come in with a part of it that says, I am stuck in this family situation with all these difficulties, and that's who I am. You come in with many, 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 many parts of you. One way to talk about it is astrologically. You come in with many, many parts to you. Numerologically, many, many numbers. There are many ways to describe that there are various parts to you, one of which finds you in the midst of this difficulty at this age, in this time in your life. That is undoubtedly true. At the same time, my friends, there are clamorings all around you of what I would call the otherness of you, the other parts of your awareness that have the gentle, calming wisdom, power, wonder, and please hear this word, humor, that can be brought even to that most dismal of situations. Now, you will say to me, what good is it to hear this now when I'm seated in this room and I've gone through all of this? Why didn't I know it when I was younger? And I will tell you something. Whether you are cognizant of it or not, you did remember. You did in the night remember the wonderful gift of sleep. Remember that as you fall into those deep sleep patterns, I don't mean the layer of dream, I mean the deep, deep sleep where you once again deeply immersed in the source of your awareness, when you are embraced once again by all of your wholeness, when you once again know yourself to be just one magnificent whole, part of which is manifesting during your conscious hours as a child in a certain situation. But in that night sleep, you are reminded in the deepest parts of your awareness about the rest of you. And if I could put it this way, and please don't take this literally, you can just sit around the kitchen table there in your deep sleep and discuss the situation. I mean this in some very literal way, that the parts of you, you know, there are no separations to your wholeness. There isn't this part and that part, and they cannot communicate. Now, it is true that the conscious mind believes that they cannot communicate. Therefore, when you are awake, in what you call awake, what I call asleep. But when you are in that state that you call awakened, you choose to remember that you are isolated, alone, lonely, sorrowful, mixed up, and in pain. But when you are back in the wholeness of your being, you remember once again. You align with all those magnificent cards that you, many of you like so much, the magician, all of these powerful hero figures. You align with all those other parts of your being, and very definitely there is an exchange of energy. You would call it dialogue. There is no need for speech. It is simply emotion, a movement between all. And I will be very literal. It is in that state that much of your inspiration comes, much of your guidance. If you awaken in the morning with an aha, I know what I'm going to do now. Thank you, sleep. Well, it isn't sleep. It is that wonderful coming together of the committee of your own consciousness that just sits and very definitely moves between what you have compartmentalized, making it all very alive and very whole and very filled with the wonder of the One. This is what you give to yourself as the gift of that sense of deep sleep. So, as that interchange is made, as you are re-reminded yet again of what the job is, and remember, the job is to bring the light of consciousness into places in the human condition that are dark. That is the job. That is the job. And as you remember that, you are filled again with the sense of the necessity to do it. You are reminded again of the power and the awareness that you have to do it. You are reminded of the endless chain of helpers who are always aligned, ready to help whenever they can. So please, if you could return yourself now to your child awareness, you would remember that there were times of deep knowing and of deep peace around the issue. My friends, I will be very frank. The ones who come in under those circumstances and cannot move with ease in the night through the different phases of communion with all of the deep parts of themselves, usually end up committing suicide. They usually end up leaving those situations just because they are not able to find the doorways at night. So they take the obvious doorway, which has always been present, the doorway out, so that there can be a reassessment, a realignment, a remembering, and then something new taken in another time, in another moment in time-space. So I'm asking you, first of all, to move away from any idea of blame and approach that part of you that knows that there is the absolute warrior that moves through all of those changes and presents to the world light on these subjects. Whatever you say about it, my friends, you would not be asked to do something that you could not do and that did not have a way out. And for those that cannot find their way out, it is usually, and I hate to categorize because, again, it can be very false, but it's usually someone who we could consider to be a relatively, again, I dislike the word, a relatively young soul who doesn't as yet know about the marvelous grace and beauty of consciousness that moves throughout all the parts of your awareness as you move into the deep sleep of your consciousness. So, I ask you to become filled with the knowing of your integrity, of your strength, of the courage, and in these situations, if any of you are dealing with people, yourself and other, one of the main ways to get in touch with and get out of that sense of overpowering past is to begin some kind of deep meditation on an ongoing basis. Because again, my friends, we have to ask, how do you remove yourself from the belief structures that have been placed upon you. You see, what you're struggling with, my friends, is belief structures about life, about people, about human beings and what they do to each other. It is not so much your past life, even in this life, that you're struggling against, but rather a set of impressions. Do you understand? A set of ideas that have been associated with you and about the choice that has come your way. Now, let us then move from this discussion to another, which I hope you will find a parallel with. There's so many ways to talk about who you are and what happens to you. One of them is to say that you are pure conscious awareness. Now, again, we've used this a lot, meaning vast, vast, vast awareness, undifferentiated, limitless, no boundaries, absolutely uncontained anywhere, boundless. That is who you are. Now, when we begin to talk about what you are as you move into body consciousness, we have a very interesting kind of a diagram, which is, let us pretend, again, you'll understand that it is not a reality, but let us just use the image that pure conscious awareness is now seen as a very, very clear sphere of glass. Let us say that it is cylindrical and that it is rather like your backbone, and it is tremendously empowered. And inside of this clear vessel is all of the wonder and the magic of pure conscious awareness, moving in ever magnificent patterns, bringing you the sense of life, of joy, of beauty, of wonder, of being. That is the center pole of consciousness. And not only does it run through your body, but it runs through your, what you would call your mind. And it extends above you, into what you would call the emptiness above, and it goes deeply down in what you would call the emptiness below. But it is, if we could talk about it, some people have seen it as a golden cord. And that's one way to talk about it. But when we talk about it in body form, I'd like us to make it not a cord so much as a wonderful cylinder of awareness. All right? Transparent, magnificent, and very, very alive. Now, when you begin your life situation, all around this marvelous container, there are what they have called, since the beginning of recorded time, tendencies. You know, when you go, those of you who have studied the Vedas and the Upanishads and so forth, you find the word tendencies, which means your particular little bag of possibilities. Your possibilities of events to experiences, awarenesses, and sense of who you are. And they are, if I could put it this way, magnetically aligned along this cylinder. They come as, if you would like to talk about it this way, past life traces. If you like past lives, fine. If you don't worry about it. It doesn't matter. All that I ask you to be aware of is you come in with some tendencies. Otherwise, why does one person become a concert pianist and the other becomes a plumber and the other becomes a mother of 16 and the other... Why? It is because of the tendencies that are accumulated around this wonderful sphere. Now, you know, because we have gone through this over and over, that you have in and around and about you an electromagnetic field. The electromagnetic field is what keeps these tendencies adhering to the magnificent surface of the inner cylinder. Are you following this? Is it? All right. Now, you come into life all shiny on the inside, all shiny on the inside, every one of you equally shiny. There is no differentiation in the magic of that cylinder. They are absolutely identical, absolutely identical. Where you differ is in the kinds of magnetic crystallization that happens to be stuck to the cylinder. Now, as you move through life from the very smallest onward, you begin to pull to you things that are in alignment with those electromagnetic parts of your being. That means that two identical babies will be in the room and one will see A and one will see B. And there's very little difference between identical babies, except they are totally different because one has a tremendously different set of accumulations than the other. They are different, and they will accumulate different experiences. There will be similarities, but always differences. Now, one of the major clusters on that cylinder is your destiny. By that I mean your choice. The choice that you have made in conjunction with wisdom presented to you prior to coming into life of what am I going to do for the next 25 years, the next 50 years, the next 75 years. You know, you're sending me on this journey. Well, what do you think I ought to do? You know, let's talk about it. You know, you don't just say goodbye, dear, and send your child out. You know, have a good life. You know, you help them. Well, if you help your child, doesn't it make sense that when you're in that incredible world of vast consciousness where the wise areas of awareness are present, doesn't it make sense that they will care as much about you as to help you align yourself inwardly and outwardly with what would be appropriate? What would be appropriate with your own particular collection as well as in alignment with what your heart yearns for? The destiny that seems most appropriate for you in conjunction with all of the things that are already in place. That is not so much a karmic record, because these things fall. They come and they go. For example, many of you who came in under very difficult circumstances, whose parents had only the negative view of life. Life is terrible. It's awful. It's awful. You know, it's terrible, and then you die. And when you die, you're dead, and that's that. There's nothing. Now, many of you came in with that kind of an idea, and that you're here in this room, in this day, listening to this. Now, what happened? What happened? Something has happened. Now, there are many ways to talk about it, but one of the ways to talk about it is, when you began to feel uncomfortable with a part of your accumulation, when you began to step out of the consensus reality around it and feel that you did not feel comfortable, then you began to look around. And when you begin, some people begin at a very young age and some other. When you begin to look around, what that looking around is you're looking for something else to begin to come towards you, so that you can yet again begin a new experience of life. So the exciting thing to remember, my friends, is these electromagnetic magnets, whatever you want to talk about it, can fall away. And what makes them fall away? You know. Any of you could answer this. Energy follows thought. When your awareness is placed again and again on that same magnetic field, reminding yourself of how terrible life is, how awful it was, going over again and again and yet again the past, reinforcing it with concrete visual power, it gets stronger and stronger. And finally, when you say, enough of that, do you all know, and I'm sure you all do, there's a moment in therapy when you said, I don't care if I'm well, I've had it. I don't care. I do not want to talk about this one more time. I do not want to think about it. I don't want to dream about it. I'm done with it. I'm done, I'm done. In that moment, it begins to disbond. You know, everyone talks about bonding. May I tell you, you can do the opposite. What would be the word? Disbond sounds a little strange, but we'll have to create something. Meaning, to reverse the bonding process, to move that energy so that it moves away and drops away. So you can, and this is the incredible wonder of life, that you can move away from many of those patterns by simply no longer dwelling upon them and just saying enough. Enough. And in so doing, it may be a year, 2 years, 5 years later, you will realize you are no longer obsessed. You are now no longer going moment after moment back to the same place, opening up the same garbage can, assessing whether the garbage is still at the same level, what is happening. But this is a process and has to be really seen as an integral magic. But what is the real magic? The magic is finally, instead of being something that is over there humming with this kind of a strange, you know, negative things have a hum as well as positive things. And something that is very strong in your psyche is going to have a hum to it. And when you go through all your life trying to deaden yourself so you won't hear your hums, then you have what you call addictions. What are addictions? Doing things to not hear the hum. And you pick it. You pick it, whichever, you know, what does they say? It's your addiction of choice, whatever it is. All right, but whatever that is, all we know is that when you begin to choose to move away, when you choose to say, I have dramatized and maximized this enough, I need to turn to something else. And in that motion of consciousness, taking the light of consciousness away from that and placing it in other areas, consciousness attracts. I've told you this remind again, please. Consciousness is that part of your wholeness that has the ability to move and adhere to anything that you choose to have it adhere on. And if you're going back to the same things over and over again, you strengthen them. When you say no, enough of that, and you do not have to do anything at that moment except take the focus of consciousness and put it somewhere else, you will begin to feel that this begins to just get less and less and less and less. And in that process of taking the consciousness and placing it somewhere else, you are creating the possibility of a new magnetic field. I will repeat. When you take your consciousness off of something and place it on something else, you are creating the possibility of a very strong, empowered electromagnetic field being built up in your consciousness. And that is why they keep saying, please pay attention to what your consciousness is resting upon. From the very beginning, I asked you to seriously consider being that which watches your thoughts. Because in the watching of the thoughts, you will begin to see those things that you are strengthening and choose to leave them alone and simply with gentle good humor and all good love of self, move it to something else. This is why when so many of you start a new path, whatever it is, you begin to almost inundate yourself with reading material. People come to me and they say, of what good is reading? I said, it's immeasurably useful. And what is happening? It is, do you understand? You all see immediately, of course. It is creating that magnetic field. You are taking now from hopefully the best in the field, bringing to you the highest knowledge of the wisdom appropriate from that field, and bringing it to you. So it is not their information, but it is now yours. The moment that it moves through your psyche, it changes and takes the place through all of the passages possible, and when it reaches that inner core of your being, it is yours. And whatever name you give it, this is why I say, don't say Bartholomew says. Bartholomew says. If you say it, you say it. If you can't say it for yourself, don't say it. Because then it's just hearsay. It's just an idea. It's a possibility. Those things that have moved through all of your wholeness into that deep core are yours, and you can claim them as such. Now, those of you, for example, who are artists, who are trying to struggle onto anything, those of you trying to make money, I don't care what it is, trying to become the best parent that you can, and so on, it is extremely important that you realize that all of that data that you're pulling towards you, as it moves towards you, goes through various exciting changes so that when it rests with you, it is uniquely your own and is claimed as such. And when you begin to realize that everything that you take into your system you can claim as your own, you'll begin to be a little bit careful about what you take in. Because at the same time, my friends, if you are sitting zoned out, I love this word, zoned out, that is a very spiritual word. The ability to move from zone to zone. You see, in your case, being zoned, I suppose, means moving out of this immediate time zone and trying to reach to another zone that isn't as limiting. So what I would suppose, why would you zone out to become more limited? It doesn't sound logical. So I'm assuming that all of you zoners are trying to get to something more expansive. And so it's a wondrous word. It's a wondrous word. But please be aware that when you use it in the negative sense of just transfixing yourself, say, on the universal mandala of the television and allowing it to come in, you are receiving impressions that are also yours. Those of you that have children, I know I've said this again, let me just throw it in here, please be careful. There is very little ability for a young child, a very young child particularly, to discern the difference between the figures fleeting on the screen and those that are actually in their lives. There is very little differentiation between this and that. There is a taking in and an absorbing and trying to deal with everything. Please be careful. As responsible beings, pay attention, and not only for your children, but for yourselves as well. You have no idea how much easier it is to be rude, nasty, and violent after a night of watching a violent movie. It is absolutely the way it is. And you say, yes, but I wasn't really paying attention. You know, I was just, you know, knitting, or I was whatever. But my friends, all of those impressions are entering. You are magnificently, extensively alive, and you extend far past the limits that you believe. You are so wondrously alive and full of potentiality. And as all of this floods into you, there is a very difficult process that has to say, is this real or is this unreal? Where do we put it? And when you are filling yourselves with a lot of symbols, night after night after night, it becomes very difficult. But if you will just realize that taking in of the violence puts you in a position of being much more likely to be that the next day, then you can choose the kinds of things that you want to make electromagnetically yours. The entire universe is alive with possibility for you. And all that you need to do is make your choices. Realizing that at any time, you see, the reason I bring this in now is realizing that just because you have this accumulation at childhood does not mean you are stuck. You are not stuck with it. It is not stuck to you. It isn't like that. What it is a magnetic polarity, and when you choose to move away, it begins to lessen, the polarity lessens, and finally it drops away. So if you could keep this in your awareness and realize that the one that magnetizes you is you, and you do it through your own sweet, gentle, loving choice, then you can begin to enhance the kind of clusters that are around you. Now, the wonderful thing about these clusters and the difficult thing about them is they attract the same thing. Like attracts like. And so whatever you have as a cluster is going to begin to attract more and more of the same. When you understand that and overcome the difficulty, the sad, sorrowful feeling of that, you begin to take up the power in your own awareness and use it as the most helpful technique you have, which is you can build tremendous clusters, tremendous power clusters that have as their main destiny to make you peaceful, happy, joyful, alive, abundant, rambunctious, dynamic, alive, creative. Does that sound good? It's all your potentiality. And that which you scan and find and bring to you is what comes to you and stays with you. So as you begin to move into a new area of aliveness, if you begin to fill yourself with as much data along that line as you can, what happens is your visual field comes into motion, and you begin to, impicture yourself. You do impicture yourself all the time. You realize there's a part of you that is taking snapshots all the time. Constantly. Good thing it doesn't cost money to develop. You'd be paupers. Because they're constantly going off in you, constantly taking vignettes everywhere you go. And they are all in some way recorded and stay with you, but those that are not activated by awareness and by consciousness yet again fall away. And the ones that fall away simply do so, and you are left with this incredible potential. I think it is the most exciting thing that you have at your disposal. And so be very clear on what you want to bring to yourself, and then rambunctiously participate in the process, and you will begin to have that which you yearn for. Many of you say, I want to be happy. I'm tired of being miserable. And when we get very serious, you say, well, I'm miserable because I have all of these people in my life that make me miserable. When we get very deeply into it, we begin to realize, if you begin to realize that they are simply there to remind you of a magnetic field that you have inside of you, and they are only standing symbol, they are not the cause, they are simply the reminder of the inner cluster, then you begin to be more gentle with your life and the people in your life. My friends, there is a lot of pain in this world. If you say you love someone, I ask you to question whether loving them means increasing their pain or increasing the space within your life that embraces them so that they can begin to have the space to move, to create new clusters, to no longer feel that you are also a part of the painful cluster. You can choose at any time to decide that everyone in your life is there for you to love, for you to keep on encouraging, for you to come out of the very deepest part of yourself. And if there's something troublesome, you say, that's my problem. That's my problem. Thank you for reminding me. And after they collapse on the floor, you can assist them to an upright position. Because you see, there is no flexibility in this understanding because there is fear. Now, the fear, of course, is that you have defined yourself according to your clusters. Oh, I feel this cluster, therefore I am mean. But then there's this other cluster over here that says, oh, I'm loving. Well, which is it? Are you mean or are you loving? Are you compassionate or are you rude? Are you selfish or are you giving? I mean, you see, when you begin to look very deeply at yourself instead of looking at only the ones that sound very holy, see, the way the ego works is you look at your holy ones and your friends look at the ugly ones. And a friend is someone who says, I'm going to look at your holy ones even if I don't believe it. And out of that determination, the determination to remember the incredible moments of tenderness and love and compassion that you obviously shared, or you wouldn't be stupid enough to stay in this relationship. So it is there. And so the remembrance of the good, the true, and the beautiful helps to increase. And instead of feeling that in some way you are not doing your internal job, you will begin to find that the job falls into two categories. One is a complete open willingness to say to this other person, you are reflecting me. You're reflecting me. Some view of myself is present here. What kind of a person am I that brings this into my life? And reflect it as you, and take that deep, sweet responsibility. And then in exchange, coming to the remembrance of the beautiful time shared, and to enlighten and strengthen all of those that are potentials as well, what happens is the energy that you have been expending, trying to keep other people in alignment with you, trying to keep them in some kind of sense of cause, all of that energy now comes right back to you, and gives you the capacity to strengthen and deepen your inner journey. Because whatever is outside you, my friend, whatever is the confusion outside, it is not outside, it is yours. It is a view of you. Something inside of you has pulled it to you just so you have the opportunity to be aware of it. I've told you again and again, this is how the original game was constructed, and you've been playing it this way ever since. There are other games in the universe. So when one gets tired of this one, I've always told you, there are other places to go and do whatever you ought to do. But when you are here, understand that one of the main diagrams of consciousness at this time, and of course everything is always up for renewal and we can always change at any time, but at the moment the diagram is set this way, that all of you represent to each of you mirrors of your own clusters of attraction, your own clusters of confusion or beauty or wonder or pain or judgment or whatever it might be. Your life says something about you. If you can keep remembering that deeply through everything that you do, then all of the mirrors become, there's a sense of gratitude that arises then within you. And the moment that the gratitude for the mirror arises, something magic begins to take place inside. You know, cleanliness is not next to godliness, but gratitude is. Gratitude is the step right before God-realization. It is right there. It is that which is the last step. And when you begin to see your life and build your life and your awareness that your only job with other is to provide enough space, which means allowing them to be who they are, acknowledge that they have differences, that they are as they are, to give them the space and reflect the beauty of their being back, that gives you the enhancement of your own power. That is taking back your power. My friends, many of you talk about taking back your power, and if I might be frank, I don't think you know quite what the mechanism is. So for the last of this tape, let us discuss that. As I have told you before, one of the five strands within your awareness is the power to project. Now, there's no one in this room who has come this far that doesn't know you have the power to project, which means, oh, I'm feeling this thing. Oh, I don't like this thing. Oh, who can I give it to? Well, there's got to be somebody out there. Oh, I know, there. And how would you carry this for me? And would you carry this for me? And would you carry this for me? Now, some of you project some of your beauty, your wonder, your strength, your godness, your God awareness. Don't do that. Out it goes. If you are in the presence of anyone who you think has any degree of God realization, what that should say to you is, thank you, thank you, thank you for reminding me that deeply within me is that same wondrous ability for God realization. And instead of having to mirror it through you, I am now willing to take the responsibility of mirroring it in myself. I will now go out and begin to accumulate and bring into my life those things that are going to bring that cluster into fullness and to power and to deep destiny within myself. So, but most of you, of course, identify with what I would call the negative attributes that you've projected out. And so there's this sea of faces all carrying a part of you. And when you finally say no, no, that's very, very tedious. And it's very disempowering. When someone comes to me and they say, I don't feel I have any power, I say, well, who has it then? Somebody's got it. Somebody in your world has it. Who has it? Are they in your present life? Are they in your past life? I mean, this life. Let's not get fancy and go to past lives, my friends. You've got plenty enough to deal with right here. I mean, those of you who enjoy it, of course. I don't, but I mean, don't try to go so far back that you miss the obvious. You know, it's very nice to say, well, I have this fear of women because in my third century I was a whatever, whatever. You know, well, it's much more likely that somebody in this lifetime is carrying that power to deeply understand and intuit and blend with whatever part of consciousness you're trying to keep away from. Remember, anything that you try to keep away from will persistently hound you. It will hound you and hound you and hound you until you understand what it has come. What is the gift? And the gift comes, it says, remember this. Any part of your awareness that you've splintered off, whatever it is. So as you begin to become aware of a sense of powerlessness, begin very sweetly and gently to go into your life and find out who carries it. Now, one of the exciting ways that you've set up this game is, let us say that someone in your first 5 years of life carries a big piece. It is just like one of those, I don't know what they're called, those wands that they pass from runner to runner in a race. The baton. It, you know, you can pass the baton. And that's what happens. Oh, person after 5 years is going to, you know, get out of your life. Well, the wonderful trick of it is you will say, well, would you mind passing that baton to so-and-so? And that, and so-and-so probably says, I'd be happy to. So they take it on. And then let us say so-and-so drops out of your life after high school. Believe me, you go into your first year of college, there they'll be, and somebody else will have the baton, and you'll say, well, I thought I left you back in high school. So here you are again. And then you go through all this trouble. You said, now I'm done with it. I'm done with it. You go into the corporate world, and there in the first desk is the man with a baton, you see? And it just... And the thing to understand is that you did this for your own understanding, for the beauty, wonder, and expansion of your life. You picked it because you wanted it this way. And it's exciting. So look around. Look around in your present. Look around in the middle. And look around in the early. And you'll find them. This is not a mystery, you know. No $75 an hour here. You know, you can sit down and you can do it. And you can deeply get within yourself until you begin to understand who is holding what power for you in what way. And when you begin to identify them, the first step, no matter how painful, is to say thank you. That doesn't mean you have to go up to them and say thank you. That means inside your being, say thank you, and begin to be excited about asking yourself the basic questions now. Since it's not a question of them, now it's a question of you. And what are the questions? The questions are inside of you. What is it about you that has magnetized this? What are you believing? What are you afraid of? What are you absolutely convinced of? Remember again and again, we talk about this. When you look at your deep beliefs, you will understand why your world is as it is. Again and again, I say, if you're interested in a text, Jane Roberts,
Personal Reality.
The Nature, thank you. The Nature of Personal Reality sets it all out in very good form. There are other ways as well. The process is simple. The minute that you begin to say thank you to the one who holds it outside, if there's dis-ease, it's in you. They can remove themselves in that way from your life. They can be open, gentle, and loving, and allow you to deal with it. If it's discomfort, it's your discomfort. And when you say thank you, you don't have to do that anymore. I claim the discomfort now. All of that energy that had been out there now is yours to use as a magnificent way to deepen your own understanding of yourself. It is dynamic, alive, and creative. If you have habituated patterns in your life, if people keep leaving you, or if too many people keep coming to you, which would also be a problem, whatever it happens to be, look at it. Look at it carefully. Look at it and begin, you know, as Krishnamurti, you know, has said all the beautiful years of his life. Examine it deeply. Become aware of it. Bring it to you. Clarify. Feel it. Think it. Fantasize it. Bring all the parts of your being to this and ask, what is the real source of the pain here? And as you begin to do this, you will begin to see yourself. The unexamined life is absolutely boring. It is bovine. And self-examination is exciting when it's done with grace and beauty and humor and strength and a belief in the absolute perfection of the process. You created it. Claim it. Begin to see both the beauty and the pain. It's all there. This is the way. And when you begin to meditate, just as a final word, the meditation, or if you don't choose to do that, practicing awareness moment by moment in your life, however you want to do this, what happens? What is the process? Do you remember we began with this marvelous cylinder of awareness within you? Every time, no matter for what time, you go within and begin to become, you turn away from the external. What you're really doing, my friends, is falling back into that cylinder of consciousness. And every time that you do, you take part of the external world, that which is confusing, painful, and abrasive, and you are taking it, and if I could use this word, a strange meaning, but you transform it. You just take it into and take that energy into. Don't you ever wonder when you go within what you're talking about? That's what you're doing. You take from the outside. You can't go within unless you're outside. Doesn't your language indicate this? All right? So, now actually, it's not true, but we won't talk about that today. But anyway, on the external, you're outside, you go within. In the process of going within, you take that which is outside, that which is the most painful. What do I say to you when you come to me? I say, bring me your pain. Bring me your pain. To whatever extent possible, every time we meet, the job is to, as best we can, take the pain. One way of talking about all this is a cylinder of consciousness. Take it in. Doing the best to take what's there, what's hardest for you, if possible, to take it in to the cylinder and transmute it. Do I mean Mary Margaret? You know what I mean. And each of you has this ability, moment by moment, to take whatever is painful. You know, in the old days, it used to be very simple. They'd say, well, give it to God. You know, you go to a nun, and a nun has 5,695 names she's supposed to pray for every day. And someone says, how do you do that? She says, it's very simple. How do you do it? She says, I put them in one basket, and I take the basket and say, here, God. Now, your idea is, she has to go, and don't forget Jane, and don't forget, you know, go for everyone. But awareness, all right, now, at the same time, my friends, the meditation, one way that it becomes the most important focal point of the day is that which is the disturbance, that which is the pain, the sorrow, the confusion. You just simply take it and just simply be aware of it and then drop it. Go within, and in that magic, the cylinder takes and the pain and begins the transmutation process. Meditation or prayer or however you want to talk about it is transformative. Meaning, it takes that energy which is difficult, painful, and abrasive, internalizes it, and softens and sweetens and makes it light. That's why I keep saying, please meditate. Even if you don't believe in this, the simple mechanism of seating yourself and allowing yourself and asking will have the process go on without you knowing how to do it. You know, God is not stupid. And God knows how to do what God does best, which is to take the pain, the sorrow, the confusion, and the dark, pull it deeply within that source of awareness, which is God's self. Loosen it, open it, and if any needs to be returned, the burden is lighter. That is the promise. And I think most of you know well enough, not only is it a promise, it's a reality. So, I thank you all for coming. Please remember, the more you just hold in your mind the cylinder within you, in whatever way is meaningful, you increase its power, you increase its hum, you increase its availability. It is that in you which is absolutely the greatest gift that awareness could ever bestow. The ability to transform everything into the power of light. Thank you.
Before we end, this is the time of year when it comes to the announcing of the Taos Winter Workshop. This year, this coming up year, it will be on January 5th and 6th. That's 1991. The winter intensive that is held here in Taos. All I can really say about it is that it's the annual event, that it's an inward-directed workshop where you do inner work in silence. And there's a lot of silence connected with this one. Also, Sweat Lodge. Optional will be on Saturday, as usual. If you're interested in attending this workshop, the cost for the weekend is $200. We need a $100 deposit. You can make that check payable to Vista Grande, but please send it to me, Joy Franklin, at P.O. Box 2996, Taos, New Mexico, 87571, and I will return your confirmation and be sending out more information about that workshop approximately 3 weeks before that time. Thank you.